Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Jake Moody. Let's first of all hear from, hey, listen, Jake Moody was, I got to give it up for him, man, because there's nowhere he could go, but I shouldn't laugh. But when he ended that thing with that line drive single to left field on the onside kick, I was like, come on, man. There's a seat for you at the bar, baby. Let's drink this one over. Like that was, he was so clearly in his own head. Like, oh, yeah. That onside kick was just, he should have not walked to the sideline, just gone straight in his uniform, gotten his rig. And I don't know if he drinks, but he should have just gone someplace other than Santa Clara and kept driving. Like, that was just, yeah. He just should have said, good night, everybody. That's the end of my day.
See you in 2025.
That onside kick was, I couldn't help but laugh at that point. Not to pile on the guy, but listen, it's not easy to take off your helmet and address the media, which is what he did last night.
It is right now. Yeah, definitely probably one of the lowest times of my career. Dating back to when I first started football. So confidence, you just got to keep it high. You have no other choice as a kicker. You just got to stay confident in yourself. And otherwise, you got nothing. So you got to stay confident and just keep going from here.
Is he your kicker next week, Sterling?
Well, next week he kind of has to be. It's not worth moving off of him for 1 week. But next year, I don't know how we are sitting here not talking about a kicker competition more so than a quarterback competition come training camp.
Oh, that'll be a competition. There's no doubt.
I mean, it has to be.
What scares me about him is that because you see this in the NFL, it just has the makeup of a guy that struggles with the Niners. Maybe he's okay with his second team. And then that third team, he just becomes lights out. Like, you know,
which it'll probably be Kansas City at this point. He just figures it out then.
Richard Sherman had some thoughts in the Niners kicker.
But Jake Moody, got to go. Jake Moody has to go at this point. Now, no fans, are so sensitive because we're in a day and age where everybody gets a participation trophy, and no, you don't talk bad about anybody, but you got to do your job. And at the end of the day, this team loses the game by 6 points. He missed two field goals in a PAT. Now, you missed two field goals in a PAT. I mean, this is a business where you have to execute, especially at that position. And he has not done it at a high enough tilt. And I understand he was drafted and had all this acclaim. The Detroit Lions found their kicker in a brick shop, doing a heck of a job, Jake Bates. No offense to him, no shots at him, but you can find a kicker literally anywhere. I think they've done the best they could to hold on to him and try to make it work and try to develop him, but it's time to let it go.
Was it a mistake to draft him in the third round?
I mean, you kind of hard to say no, right? Well, or excuse me, kind of hard to say that it wasn't a mistake. I mean, that draft in retrospect looks terrible. That third round where you don't have a first round draft pick, you don't have a second round draft pick because of Trey Lance and Christian McCaffrey, the acquisitions of those two players. You have Jair Brown, who was really good last year and has kind of not been the same player this year. But you cut Cam Law too because he can't hang with the rest of the tight ends, which this group ain't great outside of George Kittle in itself. Then you have Jake Moody, who is the third highest drafted kicker since 2004. And this year alone, of the full-time kickers, 31st in field goal percentage. He's making just over 71% of his kicks this year on field goals. He's the highest drafted kicker in the league right now. Like, talk about a swing and a miss. I have no idea who was on the draft board at the time, but anybody would have been better. Sixth-string offensive lineman, a third-string safety, a sixth-string tight end, doesn't matter. They'd give you something more than Jake Moody, who has actively hurt this team for almost 2 years now. This year against the Buccaneers almost cost him a game. Last night, whether he cost him a game or not, certainly hurt them last night. Against the Rams earlier this year, cost them. In the Super Bowl, he cost them with a block kick. Like, so much of Jake Moody's tenure has been, wow, this guy stinks. And in 2 years, he still stinks. They traded Trey Lance after 2 years and a broken foot that cost him one of those seasons. Yet Jake Moody may have a chance to be here next year. It's just crazy to me.
And one guy we have not heard from is Tabor Pepper, who is on line two. No.
Got the throat chop. Can't talk anymore.
Yeah, there's no defending him at this point. And we didn't hear from him. Apparently, Deebo Samuel has learned his lesson as well, because if ever there was a time to go after the guy. And why, at the end of the day, why is he going out there for 58 yards? It's just like Kyle Shanahan's like, keep missing him. Like, let's just... I mean, this is getting a little ridiculous. I mean, it's not as though those were two chip shots. You know what's funny about kicking, just generally speaking? Back when I was growing up, man, if you hit a 50-yarder, it's like, holy... I mean, it was headlines. Somebody hit a 50-yarder in the NFL. Somebody hit a 55. Now it happens with such high regularity in the National Football League. And it's so... These kickers are so streaky. It's tough. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, look at Tucker. Now, all of a sudden, he's human out there in Baltimore. Not even human. He's not even good anymore. And it's just... It's difficult. It's really sort of, and those dudes are usually the weirdest guys on the team. They're over there on their stationary bike while everybody else is pounding heads. It's a very, very, I can never put too much emphasis on blaming or giving too much credit or fault when it comes to kickers at the end of the day.
I mean, sure, but he can barely make a 40-yarder. It's not like, oh, he's missing 60-yard field goals. Like, I don't know who the guy's name was back in the day, but he had like, his foot was, I guess, deformed is the word to use. Like
Tom Dempsey.
I think. Yeah, Tony Danza played him in the movie they made back in the day. Like, it's like, that guy's making field goal kick 63 yards downfield. Jake Moody's perfectly fine. He can't make a 40-yarder. Like, what's going on?
He was kicking with a wooden stump.
Right, and sure, it certainly helps you, but it's like, okay, just, can you just make a 40-yarder for me? Like, at this point in time, I am more nervous about Jake Moody going on. Like, whenever he trots out, I'm like, well, we're not scoring this drive. And when your red zone offense isn't that great this year, you got to have a kicker that can, you know, is worth a third round pick. But Matthew Wright was hitting kicks for you in Seattle. Anders Carlson, who isn't even great, was hitting kicks for you, you know, 50 plus yarders out. Like, you can find kickers anywhere, whether it's the UFL, whether it's the FIBA. You can find these guys anywhere. Like, I'm talking, bring in three undrafted free agents next year and say whoever wins gets the job. Like, there's no reason not to at this point.
You talked about Tom Dempsey's 63-yarder, which stood forever as the benchmark for the longest kick in the history of the NFL for field goal kickers. You know who tied his mark? This is a good knowledge. Come on. I trust you as being...
I know David Akers tied it in Green Bay at halftime with Kaepernick, had the long run.
This predates Akers.
There was, I think, Matt Elam for the Broncos tied it with Denver.
Jason Elam, not Matt Elam.
Jason Elam.
Very well done, Sterling. Very well done. All right.
Mile high. A lot easier to kick there.
You're thin air. The reason why I know Jason Elam, he's the pride of the University of Hawaii. He's a former Rainbow. Not a lot of, and their kicking is usually atrocious out there. So,
who was the quarterback that went to Washington and inevitably passed away? Colt something? Is that his name?
Colt Brennan. Yeah, good job. Colt Brennan. Yeah, he took them to it wasn't the Fiesta Bowl, but that was the last time the Rainbows were really, really good. Devon Best.
He played during like Sam Bradford and Colt McCoy and Tim Tebow's era, right?
Yeah, and Devon Best was on that team, and they had some wide receivers. Yeah, geez, Sterling, my goodness. Knowledge reaching all the way out to the islands.
Who would've thought?
Just for a second before we wrap up the segment, and then we're going to get into we'll go to the Warriors. Just to take an overview of the NFL, starting first of all, we'll get away from the 49ers. We'll come back, I promise, locally to the Niners as well as that of the Warriors. Oh, man. Golden State Warrior, misery is straight ahead. But just taking a look at the landscape of the NFL, starting out in the NFC, who has the advantage next week, you think, between Minnesota and the Detroit Lions? And here's the thing to keep an eye on in that game. Is that somebody's got to have that conversation of, look, it, nobody has been a 14-win team and not been a number one seed. So you've never had a game between two 14-win teams. Somebody has to have the conversation, whether it's O'Connell or whether it's Campbell. Like, look, it, if we lose this game, although you never want to entertain losing, Campbell's never going to do this, but you can't have all the air go out of the room because you've got a playoff game that next week. It could be as early as the following Saturday. The tournament hasn't even started. So the idea like, oh, we just lost to Detroit. Oh, we just lost to Minnesota. It cannot be the end of the world for either one of these teams.
Yeah, I think Detroit's going to be at home. They get to host the game in front of their home crowd. They'll be riled up. You know, you can argue the Vikings are more healthy. You can argue that maybe the Vikings' defense is a lot better. Brian Flores is out there doing the Lord's work in Minnesota on defense this year. I guess in that case, I think I'd lean towards to Detroit, but the Vikings played the Lions tough early in the year when Detroit was not banged up this bad, and the Vikings are good. They're really you can argue they have two of the best head coaches on their team as their coordinators, in O'Connell and Brian Flores. That's how loaded they are. But I think just that home crowd in Detroit, it's really hard to beat the Lions at home, really, in general, to be honest with you. But I think it has to be Detroit, honestly.
Well, you know what? Listen, getting back to Sam Darnold, because he has some hurdles in front of him, because a lot of us just don't know, because we've never seen him in this capacity before. If he goes into Detroit, and I don't care that he has the tools and the weapons, but if he leads a team from behind, or he comes away with an impressive win in Detroit for a game like that to get you the number one seed, I mean, he's moving up the ladder in terms of, like, that's the, and the unfortunate thing is, first of all, Minnesota, if this continues, there's no way in hell Justin Jefferson's going to let this guy leave the building. No. And secondly, it's not just the 49ers that are going to throw that hat into the ring and saying, listen, we want, he's going to be coveted by more than just one team. All right, let's continue the 49er talk and get out to Steel Toe, hanging out in San Mateo. Steel, what's up, buddy?
Thank you, Dan. Sterling. Yeah, I think it's this is beyond a Brock Purdy situation. This is kind of beyond Kyle Shanahan. After this Super Bowl, when we find out the winner of the Super Bowl, we have a chance here to get possibly Steve Spagnuolo, who probably is in a position to accomplish something Bill Belichick or any other coach, George Seifert, has ever done, win three Super Bowls in a row. He knows Andy Reid's weakness. He knows Patrick Mahomes' weakness. And we have that opportunity to get a defensive coordinator to be our head coach, to have an edge over the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's part of the problem. It's Jed York is kind of a mama's boy. He won't have any balls to get the real head coach to have an edge over the best coaches in the league. That's what this is really about. It's about getting it. Kyle Shanahan will never be better than Andy Reid. So you got to get a better coach. Steve Spagnuolo is right there serving you in a silver platter. And this guy just doesn't want to think about it. Jed York is, I can't stand Jed York. I don't know how the 49ers are going to win.
All right, Steele, thanks so much. Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, before we get off football talk and we get into the Warriors, by the way, we see the callers, Leo and company, hang on. We're going to get to a break and go full-fledged Golden State Warriors, but Kansas City, I mean, the fact they got the number one seed and are playing their best football now, look out. Three-peat very much in sight. What say you?
It's last year all over again. They didn't play great to begin the year. They got hot at the end. The Ravens don't run the football in the playoffs. The Bills don't get it done. And then bang, bang, boom, we're sitting here, Niners, Chiefs, Super Bowl once again. But I want to push back on Steel Toe a little bit. Defensive coordinators that go to be head coaches usually don't fare pretty well in this day and age in the NFL. This isn't the Belichick era anymore. Tomlin has been good, but they haven't won in like a decade and a half. And the Niners did try to hire Steve Spagnuolo this year. That was the first team they called when they fired Steve Wilks, was, hey, Kansas City, can we get Steve Spagnuolo? The Chiefs gave him a raise and said, you can forget about that opportunity, Steve. And that was all said and done. They also tried to get Bill Belichick. They also tried to get Jeff Ulbrich from the Jets. Like, they tried to make all these moves to bring in another defensive coordinator to help this team. But you also weren't getting rid of Kyle Shanahan in this day and age when everybody else would want to have Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan isn't going anywhere. Sorry, Steele. All right, Leo, hang in there. It's the Warriors straight ahead. That's right. Warriors losers again. This team's circling the drain. What do we do? Answers straight ahead with Sterling Bennett and Dan Avone on 95.7 The Game.